Hello, I'm Angela Scanlon, and I am guest hosting today's episode of Brown Thomas Presents. This year marks an amazing 13 years of Brown Thomas Create, a platform which continues to support the next generation of Irish design talent. I was lucky enough to be chosen and be part of it last year with my jewellery brand Freckle, and I had the most incredible experience. So today I am chatting to three designers about their own journey with Brown Thomas Create. We're on. Rachel Maguire, Sarah O'Neill, thank you so, so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
So for anyone who is listening who's unfamiliar with you guys or your brands, give us a quick rundown. Shall we start with Sarah?
Okay. So my range is called ADOC. It's a print range. It's inspired by the stories that my granny told me when I was little. So it's a lot of kind of Irish mythology, folklore, a lot about Irish history, strong Irish women. I worked for years as a stylist and then as an illustrator. So I wanted to combine both of those kind of aspects of my career and started illustrating these old kind of myths and legends like Banshees and Children of Lear, and then got the illustrations printed up onto silk and linen, made into kind of kimonos, scarves, just really kind of fluid, flowing kind of garments. And I also do like hand-painted leather jackets. So it's my little homage to this place we live.
And such a gorgeous kind of reimagining, I guess. You know, I think of folklore and it can feel quite twee and a bit traditional,
yes.
Although I feel very connected to that.
Exactly.
But there's something super
yes.
contemporary and sexy about the
yes.
telling of this that I think it feels very, yeah, really modern and really just really appealing.
So many of those stories were really rock and roll. You've got the most incredible women, like people like Grainne Whale, the Pirate mm-hmm. Queen, you've got Queen Maeve. And if you even look at like a big influence on me,
Bridget, hello.
Was Jim Fitzpatrick. And so when you look at his stuff, it's really, really cool, that kind of 70s vibe. And that's kind of, I wanted to kind of reimagine it. And as you said, it was twee and it was, you know, I think we were kind of slightly, we weren't very proud of it. And I wanted to kind of bring it back. These are the stories that we all know. And, you know, I'm from the north, and so that's a little bit different. It's, you know, it's a lot to do with identity and building identity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so that's a really important aspect of it to me as well.
Yeah. I love that. And that idea of strong Irish women, and I think Create absolutely embraces that, whether intentionally or not. Rachel, give us a rundown of your brand.
My brand is called Rashid. So far, it's been based off and around of luxury faux fur hats in all sorts of colours. And I've kind of expanded now into... which will be launching this year and Create coats, jackets, handbags. I'm definitely taking things slowly. People are always saying, okay, we've seen that, so what's next? But I want to get things right and I'm in it for the long run, I hope. And I am taking things slowly. I'm building a customer base. I am heavily inspired by the luxury faux fur kind of designs that spark human connection. I always say to people, when you wear one of my hats, you have to go out open to conversation because people want to touch it. People want to ask where it's from. People want to try it on. It sparks a bit of a human connection. And that is kind of why I started this was I just made one for myself and I couldn't believe the response, just the genuine response of people. And that's where the business began. So I'd never planned to start a business. It evolved naturally and I'm taking it slowly and I'm trying to get it right rather than rushing and being up against people that have huge collections and then getting lost and maybe devaluing the product that I began with because it started off strong. So yeah, that's where I'm at the minute.
And also it feels like that's kind of, you know, there's I don't know, I guess some of that can be ego, can't it? The desire to run really quickly, to build really quickly, to create that story and actually keeping a tight rein on it for loads of reasons, least of all, or most of all, it makes much more business sense to be very, very tight in terms of your product. It's interesting that you mentioned human connection because Freckle, that's where we first met Rachel last year at Create. And
for me, it's exactly the same thing. It's conversation starters. It's connection to my mind. And, you know, a lot of the time accessories maybe even more so have that sense in that they're, you know, slightly less necessary in the official sense than clothes are. And so I feel like you have to really strongly connect with the piece that, you know, tend to be very expressive, I suppose, but it is that idea of opening yourself up to interaction with people and conversation.
Yeah, I'm the same. I feel like faux fur coats are nowhere necessary. So I'm the same. It has to be loud. Like, I love to say that they speak without words. So,
yeah.
And I think that people don't understand unless they've been in that situation where something you created or designed has sparked a human connection. Mm-hmm. It might not sound as deep as it is, but when you do start to feel that feeling, it's addictive and you want to continue to do that. And you don't want to put out a product that won't do that or that it doesn't stay true to that. So
yeah, that there's not an actual story behind, I suppose. Sarah Kane, this is your first year in Create, is that right? Tell us a little bit about your brand. It's absolutely beautiful, by the way.
Thank you.
You know, so romantic and ethereal and new, certainly new to me. So yeah, congratulations first off.
Yes, so this is the first time entering Create and the first time being a part of it. And it's also the first collection that I've done. So it's all very new to me. But the brand is, luxury women's wear. And it's all about embracing femininity. So it is quite hyper feminine with tulle and lace and the silhouettes as well. And my references or inspiration always comes from historical garments. So I love collecting those. And also this, you know, I reference then a lot. I have a lot of family photos from like the Victorian era, randomly.
Oh, wow, look at you.
So, yeah, so there's a lot of reference to what they're wearing in silhouette, but also kind of that idea of femininity that you're kind of posed in a picture and like told to keep sweet. But I think I like the idea of embracing femininity in like a strength. And so that's kind of where it all started. And then I previously would have done bespoke pieces with collecting vintage lace and making them into new pieces. So that's the kind of starting point for this collection was those pieces and seeing how I could kind of make them into more of a commercial collection. So
It's interesting because I mean the three brands feel so different in terms of aesthetic and approach, but there's definitely you know, a through line, and it is kind of that embracing of you know, of femininity, of expression. There's a kind of quiet power, it feels like, you know, bubbling underneath all of them. Does that feel reflective of Irish design generally at the moment, do you think, Rachel?
I think that for me, and I don't pay enough attention to other people, but for me, it's that I think COVID, I truly saw a new desire for fashion and just handmade in Ireland, where it was made. Just, you know, it was obviously more difficult to access things all over the world, but maybe that was why we were forced into it. And we wanted things made at home again. And I also think we wanted a distraction. We couldn't count on our health. We couldn't count on being allowed to leave our houses, but we could count on going into our wardrobe and cutting things up, or we could count on making something or maybe online shopping. So fashion, it was like an outlet we could count on through COVID for a distraction or an escape. And I think that helped my business. That was when my business began. And people say, you know, it was a hard time to start a business, but it was also a very unique time to start a business, and we were never getting that back. People needed something to escape. And I think that fashion has benefited from COVID in that way. And we've kind of kept that love of handmade in Ireland and made locally, but we've also maybe gotten a little bit bolder.
Yeah, and I think maybe there's a pride there, isn't there? And Sarah O'Neill, you mentioned, I'm going to have to call you Sarah O'Neill. but Yeah, you mentioned that idea of kind of us embracing our heritage. And I think this speaks to your work as well, Sarah Kane. But this kind of idea of that history that maybe previously we were like, oh God, that's, you know, it's a bit of an Aaron Jumper situation. We're going to leave that there. We're much more cosmopolitan. We moved away from that. And suddenly we're going, do you know what? We can look back to the, you know, whether it's the linen or whether it's wool or whether it's silk or whether it's stories, you know, of mythology and powerful women told in a more contemporary way. There definitely seems to be, and I guess, you know, say Bridget's Day is now a national holiday. There's a suddenly like open arms and an appetite and a pride and a desire to connect with our, you know, Irishness in design terms from women, I think. Does that feel true to you, Sarah?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, on a number of kind of different levels, if you think about, you know, that Ireland was, you know, a colonized place. And so it took quite a long time for people to build back up that confidence and to actually want to embrace it. I mean, this is a stunning, stunning island, you know, all aspects of it. And so if we are being inspired by this island, obviously there's going to be such an element of beauty throughout the different, you know, aspects of design. And I mean, Irish design, as you say, I mean, Aran jumpers, I love a good Aran jumper still. And there's some amazing designers doing great contemporary twists on it. But then as well, technology is a huge thing. I mean, I'm working with William Clark Mills, which is only about 20 miles from me. It's a 300-year-old linen mill, one of the oldest on the island. But they have started doing digital printing. So you've got there the ancient kind of heritage of linen, but, you know, kind of alongside the digital kind of revolution of printing and technology and how that affects fashion. And then as well, I honestly think that the likes of social media and Instagram has changed how we see this place, because we're seeing it through other people's eyes. I mean, I lived in Belfast for years and moved back up to the North Coast where I'm from 8 years ago. And, you know, my fiance is a big wave surfer, so we'd be going around different parts of the coast that I didn't even know when I grew up here. And, you know, kind of sharing that with people, and people are like, oh, I didn't know about that. You know what I mean? They know about the little kind of seaside towns or whatever, but they don't know maybe the old crumbling castles or the beautiful kind of coastline. So I think people are really getting out there and exploring. And I think, as Rachel said as well, she referenced lockdown. And I think that gave us a new appreciation of outdoors and of kind of more local things. And it gave us, I think, a newfound respect and love for the place.
Yeah, that is, it is so interesting, because I think that kind of moment of pause allowed, well, I mean, long moment of pause, but allowed everyone to kind of, you know, recalibrate, but also zoom in a bit, you know, that we were kind of so outward looking, so kind of conditioned to look towards what was outside of ourselves, outside of our countries, as if that was the answer, or that was better, or was more progressive. And actually, suddenly you see, you know, as you mentioned, the like technology, but also that, like, yeah, the beauty that we have right on our doorstep. I mean, I think drones have really helped with that. People have like drones on the coast. I just want to be at home in the sea all the time. But also, I think, you know, Create, and it's 13 years running now at the time. And I remember working as a stylist in Dublin. I mean, it might not, it will have predated that, but Create being this, you know, big moment for Irish designers in Brown Thomas, you know, and the prestige that goes with a store like that, and with being chosen to showcase your product alongside the best designers in the world in fierce competition. And I think, you know, to have that potential to be in those doors allows for people to build that confidence, and also to kind of imagine the bigger potential for their brand. Sarah, for you, first time round, what has been your experience of Create and of getting involved, and why did you want to get involved?
Yeah, so I remember going to Create, I think I was in fifth or sixth year of school, like secondary school, and seeing it there, and it was so encouraging. And then I went to NCAD and studied fashion, so it was always a part of our, you know, we knew that we were going to enter it in the final year. And then, you know, it's such a great opportunity that person in your class gets the chance to show their work on the floor. So So I always thought that that was amazing. I've gone to it every year, and then I've gotten to see my friends and classmates show their work there. And it is, yeah, it's really encouraging to see even the lot of designers who've come through and kind of even expanded themselves beyond Create throughout the years. Like, it is now 13 years.
Yeah.
So I've always wanted to be a part of it. I didn't think it would happen this soon. And like you said about COVID, yeah, I think that's kind of even where I started to think, what could I do? I graduated during COVID, so 2020.
Okay,
wow. And we didn't get our like end of year show. And it was always like this idea that we were to move away when we were finished, you know, to work for other people, go to a different country. I remember our tutor saying, go away, learn, upskill, but come back.
Yeah.
And I was like, come back, what? But I do think now it kind of, even with there's a lot of brands that have come up, even like people who have graduated a few years before me through COVID, that it has encouraged me to kind of start my own thing and keep it within Ireland, because it is such a special place. There's so much history here, and to kind of inject that into fashion.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, the artistry that comes with design, we, you know, is necessary. But there's something about seeing your product, it's, you know, business, seeing your product in a store and the kind of realizing, oh, hang on, this is not just my passion, this is, you know, this is a bigger thing. It's the validation, and whether we want, you know, to believe that we're susceptible to that or not. Rachel, has that shifted things for you, A, being in Create and seeing your product? Because, you know, we have access to selling online. The kind of barriers to creating a business, whether that's DTC, have reduced dramatically. So we're kind of empowered, I suppose, as creatives to be able to build from your bedroom, literally, if that's where you're based. But there is something about sitting in a store that I imagine, well, certainly for us with Freckle, has given you a kind of confidence that, oh, hang on, this is not just me in a vacuum.
Yeah, definitely. I think it gives you a luxury verification for sure. Like, it stops people asking for nice discounts. That's one thing that I've noticed. I think that it just shows that Brown Thomas have verified that you are luxury. And I think it's no doubt they are very well respected in Irish fashion industry globally. Yeah, globally, you know, people that are traveling through Ireland make it a point, if you're into fashion, you're coming to Brown Thomas. So it's a very unique opportunity to be in as a young designer. It elevates your brand profile 100%. And it's very important to build these connections when you are a small business, and hopefully you can grow. That's why it was a no-brainer for me to come back. They're mm-hmm. the top dogs. So I think it was a no-brainer. And it's very important to have an in-person experience for the customer. A lot of people say, I'd love to try on a hat, or, you know, I don't think I could pull them off. So not only does Brown Thomas make people feel like they can pull it off because they chose to have it in the store, so of course you should wear it, but also it gives them a chance to try it on, to feel it, to touch it. Like, although online gives us access, it's so important to have that in-store experience as well.
Yeah.
That will never, ever die.
Yeah, agreed. And I think from a brand building perspective, there's something about those touch points in the physical world that create, yeah, a kind of security, I suppose, for a customer as well. Sarah O'Neill, you have been there for a few years. From a commercial perspective, and you can tell us just how many, but from a commercial perspective, what have the learnings been over the past number of years?
Well, yeah, I've been there every year since 2016, and I love it. It works really well for me. Create works well because I don't want to kind of expand my business. I want to keep everything small mm-hmm. batch. I want to keep it very manageable. I think that the fashion industry can be problematic. It can create too much stuff, and I just don't want to add to that. So in terms of being in Brown Thomas, I mean, working with the team for a for a start. They're amazing. They're so supportive. Chatting to the customers, you get, you know, the customers can be very kind of forthright, and that's a good thing. You can hear from them what they want, what they don't want. You know, just kind of building up that kind of network around you, especially I think when you're a tiny business, it can be that you're kind of creating in a vacuum, and, you know, online is amazing. But when you're actually building up a network of people and making those connections in person, it's incredible. You learn kind of, you know, so much from there. And I mean, I remember my first year there, I was so nervous. I remember, because my stuff was inspired by my granny, I brought her, and she lived in Dublin, I brought her in. Now, we never shopped in Brown Thomas, but she, like, more like Guineas and Moore Street was where we shopped. I brought her in to see our stories in store, and she used to bring me to Brown Thomas in Switzers to see the windows at Christmas. So that was such a special moment. So to even, I mean, you know, even those kind of personal moments are, like, you know, such a milestone in the kind of journey of being a designer. Do you know what I mean? So it's, it's very, very special. And it's just nice every year for me, because I don't do seasonal collections, because everything I do is kind of limited edition. It gives me, like, a deadline to work towards. So I'm always working towards a new collection for Brown Thomas and a new print and whatever. So, on a number of levels, it's just, it slots in with my year really well.
Yeah. And again,
That's what I'm really excited about, is to, you know, this is the first collection. So to even get that feedback straight away from the customers will give me, you know, so much to go off on into the next thing. And to have the first thing to be in Brown Thomas, what better place. But it's such a spotlight, like, as you said, you could get lost in the vacuum if I was to kind of launch online with my own store first. So it gives a great spotlight to even, you know, start off.
And the connections as well. Sorry, but the connections you make with other designers is amazing as well. I mean, I've made so many genuinely good friends, and they might not be there every year, but, you know, we still meet up for coffee and cake or whatever. So that's lovely, because they're genuinely so giving. And, you know, it's good to have somebody like that to bounce off.
Yeah, because I think ultimately, you know, again, it can feel quite solitary. You're designing or you're creating something. And then again, the physicality of going in, meeting other people, because, you know, I guess everyone's learning. And historically, I suppose there's a perception that if you're creative, then you're probably not business minded, as if those two, you know, can't live together. And of course, they have to live together, because when you're a one man band or you're starting out or whatever, you're figuring it out. Rachel, how do you combine or manage the creative with the commercial side of things? Do you have help there, or do you kind of do it all yourself?
I think that I'm maybe lack in both areas, but I'm equal parts both areas, if that makes sense.
Okay, go on.
Like, as in, I don't feel I'm more creative than I am the commercial side. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say. So I wasn't someone that needed to be reeled in from my, you know, crazy. I genuinely am stimulated by also the commercial side, the business side. I'm very interested in that. So I'm pulled at both ends. So that's been of benefit to me. And I think asking everyone you possibly can, if they're willing to help, everyone around you. My mother is in business, my father's in business, my sister, like, I think they will put you on to other people.
In your business or in separate businesses?
They are in business in their own, no.
Okay, so was that always the plan then, to create your own business?
No, not at all. And I think I was saying to you before, I literally just made myself a faux fur hat in my final year of college. And like Sarah Kane said, it's always the idea that you're going to travel and work for a designer in Paris and sit and eat croissants. That was kind of the goal. So I think that the opportunity was there for me. People wanted hats. People wanted to buy them. It quickly became, you know, my full-time income in my final year of college, and I didn't have a website yet. So it would have been silly for me not to grasp this opportunity, because if I didn't, someone else would have done them. And then I would have come back from eating my croissants and really not known what to do. So although I'm sure I could have done with a few more years developing, it was better to just learn as I go.
And eating croissants.
Yeah, it was better to learn as I go and grasp the opportunity. So that's what I did. And just on Brand Thomas, you were saying, you know, you're starting with that, but I didn't. And I think what's really unique about Brand Thomas is they didn't say do less of this or say less of that. I stay true to myself, and they didn't say a word. They didn't tell me to, you know, construct my social media or my brand in any way. So They let you stay true to yourself, and that's beautiful, I think.
Yeah, and I actually think there's it's obviously curated, but there is a real openness to trust certain brands, whether they've got online following or whether they, you know, connect with it on whatever level. And exactly to your point, Rachel, it's not about, oh, you better button yourself up now, you're in Brand Thomas. Yeah. There's a kind of, allowing for, we love and respect and believe in what you're doing. We just want to give you a space 100%. For that. And I think that's really empowering, actually, as someone starting out, you're like, oh, okay, fab. I think there's nothing more giving than to be told to be yourself. It's like, what? Are you sure? There's no conditions. It's like, it feels a bit wild, actually.
I don't think people would know that was the case behind the scenes, but it is.
So listen, Create and Beyond, what's in the stars or on the cards for the next 6 months? Shall we start with Sarah Kane? Straight out the traps. No pressure.
For the next 6 months. So I'm really excited to kind of learn from this experience. I've learned so much already. As you said, like even from a business aspect of thing, it's kind of a learn as you go. That's not something I was taught in NCAD. It's definitely like a lot of design and generation of design, and which is great and encouraging. But yeah, to think of what customers want, I think that's what I'm really excited to learn, and then go into a next collection with that knowledge. So that's kind of where I'm at.
And what I feel really hopeful and excited by is the fact that, you know, it's a lot of female designers in there, and there's a sudden, you know, there is space for us to grow and to adapt and to respond to real life customers. And, you know, you only kind of create a business when you see what you might have a particular love of one product. If it doesn't sell, that's not your business. You need to kind of, you know, be a bit nimble and a bit reactive. And that feels, that feels exciting, actually.
Yeah.
You know,
that's even like the idea of when I was starting this collection is even thinking, you know, brand ethos wise is to keep it sort of small in the collection so that someone can buy a piece this season and then buy one the next season that will kind of go off of the previous season. So that it's kind of seasonless. And I think that's in response to even just around even me or people interested in fashion. In Ireland now is we're so much more into sustainability. So I'm excited to kind of have those conversations with people during Create as well.
And that tallies, Sarah, with your kind of ethos as well. I think this idea of, you know, seasonless forever pieces. I think we are much more. And that, again, comes down to confidence, and it's a different type of confidence, but not feeling like, oh, what am I supposed to be wearing? I need to just suddenly transform into this version of a runway or whatever I'm told is trendy. And I feels like there's a real pushback against trends and a desire for people to go, no, I'm buying what I love and what I feel a connection to. Do you think that's, I mean, you've always had that as an ethos, Sarah O'Neill?
Yes. Well, I mean, you know, I mean, you worked as a stylist, I worked as a stylist, you know, that then your entire kind of career revolved around kind of, you know, seasonal trends and kind of, you know, making sure that you were kind of pushing the right pieces for your clients. And, you know, as social media kind of ramped up, I started to feel quite uncomfortable about that. And that's one of the reasons I moved away from styling, because I loved it for a long time. I learned an awful lot about the industry, but it wasn't something I was comfortable with. So I made that kind of decision when I started as a designer not to go down the seasonal route. And so for me, it's more about creating pieces from our stories that then gather their own stories. Like at the minute, I'm working on a project. It's a fundraiser for Women's Aid. I was lucky enough to dress the team of An Irish Goodbye for the Oscars. the BAFTAs and the IFTAs. So I'm actually currently raffling off the pieces that they wore to the Oscars, and obviously they won the Oscar. And so for me, it's like, you know, you have these pieces, and you know, they're, you know, the Children of Lear, for example, a beautiful cape, and it was, you know, worn to the Oscars. It was worn to the Vanity Fair after party. I have videos of it swirling around the floor. And for me, you know, my kind of generation, the kind of the Vanity Fair party was so important. It was like kind of more exciting. Yeah, totally. Like, do you remember like the pictures of like Courtney Love and Amanda de Cattenay? And you know, it was more exciting than kind of the Oscars, because it was when everybody kind of let go. So anyway, so my whole thing is that, you know, these pieces have lived a life already, and I'm excited to use that life to then kind of raise some money for kind of a really worthy cause, mm-hmm. and then for it to kind of be passed on and live another life with somebody else, and so on and so on. So it's kind of like these heirloom sort of pieces, and it's a bit like what Sarah was talking about with like the Victorian sort of clothing. You know, back then people kept things for so long and they had less stuff, but they loved them. And even when you look at a piece of vintage clothing and maybe like a 1920s kimono or something, it's got like a cigarette burn in it, and you think, oh my God, that would be a really cool party that got burnt at. You know, so it's all these kind of little imperfections, I think, that add so much to a garment. And I just think that's so much more exciting than going and buying a new piece just because you're going out at the weekend, do you know?
Yeah, yeah. And it's just filling a very quick need, instant gratification. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Rachel, for you, what should we look out for? I mean, I saw on your Instagram the graffiti. I mean, was it you wearing the coat?
5 hours facing a white wall.
Of course. Committed.
Yeah.
Okay.
I needed a therapy session after that day.
It does sound a little torturous. Fun, I think.
I had the idea in my head for too long, and we just finally got it done. So I was actually thrilled to stand in front of that white wall. And the outfit I was wearing got covered in white paint, but sure luck.
So is that for sale, that piece?
Yeah, I mean, it is I haven't put it up for sale at the minute, but I would sell it. Like, okay. It just wasn't the kind of concept behind merging the art and the fashion was where I was looking at. I wasn't looking to sell the coat, but I would sell it. Like, it's I just haven't gotten around to it.
That's the spirit, Rachel.
I haven't gotten around to it yet. I'm not attached to the actual final product. I'm excited for this year ahead. I'm most definitely a winter brand at the minute, so I'm ready to go into this winter hard. I am excited to see how the Brian Thomas customer enjoys the full length coats, the jackets, the handbags. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to move away from the hats. So I'm excited to see how people
expand out off.
I'm excited to see.
Like the Spice Girls, you never want to diss Zigga Zigga.
100%. I'm excited to see how customers respond, and then ready to launch them on my own platforms this winter. Also focusing on enjoying the process, because day to day it's extremely difficult, and I'm just trying to every day not look too far into the future and just enjoy the present, focus on the day to day tasks rather than kind of saying, where am I and why aren't I as successful as this person? So just focusing on enjoying it, because I get to do what I love, and what else would I be doing? Mm-hmm. So I'm enjoying the process.
And also, and we'll end on that, but that idea of imagine. And I think sometimes when you're in it and the busyness and all of those things, it's like, you know, Sarah, you mentioned going into the windows at Christmas with your granny. And I remember going into Brian Thomas as a kid, you know, and similarly, we weren't in there regularly. but it was a kind of,
me either.
It was a kind of sense of, you know, I think it is marking this moment and actually taking a pause and go, this is a big deal. I mean, my 10-year-old self, my 30-year-old self would be like, dude, that would be a win. And I think it is that moment of, you know, congratulating, taking pause and congratulating each other, I suppose, without it getting too sycophantic. But that kind of, idea of going, you know what, well done. Well done. Across the board.
Well done, lady.
If I could give you a high five, I'd do it right now. Anything you want to add before we leave?
No. You've been an amazing host.
Oh, thank you. Okay, great. Well, look, thank you so, so much. Everyone get down to Brian Thomas to create, to see these wonderful women in person and their outrageously beautiful designs. hanging or sitting on the shelves and rails. And good luck with continued world domination, gang.
Thank you, Angela.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
These designers are just three of the creative designers showcasing at Create 2023. Come in store to explore more on Level 2. Brian Thomas, Dublin, from Thursday, the 6th of July. Bye-bye.